Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 4. Chapter 4. I may have not. Sorry, we'll pick up and we left off in 10, but I'm going to back up a little bit to 6 and start going forward. Sometimes it's like those cartoons where you got to back up a little bit before you get going. And so we're going to back up just some and look into where James is coming from before we finish this chapter. Dear Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, these truths that are here, Father, help us to apply them to our hearts and our lives in real personal ways. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. Yes. Father, as we get into this, Father, mold us, shape us, break us, and make us anew. Yes. Lord, and we ask that you would do those things. Humble us before the Most High God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He says, but he giveth more grace. Amen. Woo, praise God. I tell you what, I need some of that tonight. Woo, I did just a little more grace. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Yeah. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned. I took my eyes off the scripture. Be afflicted and mourn. Let your laughter be turned to mourn. Thank you. And your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Looking at this little portion of scripture right here, God's giving us a way to stand before him. Not in pride, but in humility.
Amen.
God will lift you up. He'll bring you.
That's right.
Jesus talked about when a rich man comes into your congregation, you say, come up front and sit right here, and you lift him up, right? And when a poor man comes in, you say, be my footstool. That's not what it should be. We need to be like unto God, right?
Amen.
We need to be humbling ourselves and allowing God to lift us up.
Right.
Or Jesus also taught another teaching where people were coming into the feast, and the Pharisees wanted to get up in the best seats. They came in with pride. They came in with all their jingling bells, their fancy robes, and said, "Ooh, I deserve to be up in the front." And then God says, "No, you need to go sit in the back." And it made humiliation for him. He says, "Wait until God brings you in."
Right.
We need to get to that mindset. Wait until God brings us in. And when God brings us in, he will have us seated where we need to be.
That's right.
Humble ourselves and God will lift you up.
Amen.
See, we always think that we can resist the devil. Well, you forget, before you resist the devil, first you've got to submit yourself to God.
Amen.
Right. In that submitting to God, you're understanding that he is God and you are not.
Amen.
He's the one who knows the ins and the outs. He knows the way. In fact, he is the way.
Blood.
Right? And so we need to be in tune with what the Word of God says and believing that Word so much it affects our lives.
Yes, amen.
We know that one thing that God loves, he really appreciates, is a broken and a contrite heart. Turn your laughter into mourning. Right? When I was afflicted, what's that, Kevin? When I was afflicted, God chastised me. Now, you keep repeating that to me. I don't know where it's at. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm talking to you, Kev.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at something. I'm sorry about that.
When I was afflicted, or when I was went astray.
Oh, that's like Psalm 119:67.
Yeah, what's it say?
It said, before I was afflicted, I went astray.
That before I was
afflicted,
yes.
I have got that.
Yeah, amen. That's okay. That's all right. I know that you were watching, looking at the Marvel comics back there.
My attention was diverted.
That's okay. But anyhow, I just needed your little help there. Thanks for that. And so he talks about this being humble, breaking ourselves. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy turned to heaviness. See, the church in America right now, all we want is the as George would call it, the unicorns and rainbows kind of stuff. All we want is to be blessed, to be fed, to be fat.
Right, right.
God's saying, listen, you need to get out of that mindset.
Amen.
That is a mindset that leads only to death.
Amen.
It leads to making you an enemy of God instead of a friend of God. He said, take what you have and give it to me, and I'll give you something worthwhile.
Amen.
Take your pride and give it to me, and I will bring back to you something that is worth more than anything that you could have laid out in the first place. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up.
Yes, amen.
That's a beautiful thing. And He starts in verse 11 and says, speak not evil of one another, brethren.
Mm-hmm.
He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Now, again, Jesus talked about this, about removing the plank out of your face before you complain about the speck in your neighbor's face. When we start putting down other people in the church, well, they don't look like we do. Well, they worship a different way than we worship. Oh, we think we're the only ones getting to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, nobody else, because they're reading a different Bible. They're believing a different thing than what I believe.
Right.
And since, amen. And now I'm lifting myself up in pride and I'm putting them down. And I'm speaking evil again. Listen, I'm not supposed to judge another man's servant. Right? The other Christians that he's talking about here, he's talking about backbiting. He's talking about coming to and saying, well, she wears a red hat on Wednesday nights. Nobody's supposed to wear a red hat on Wednesday nights.
And
okay.
It's fluffy.
And it's fluffy. It looks like a...
tickle my elbow.
She took Elmo and shoved it over her head. Right? And so, and when we get in this mindset that we are better than somebody else, then we're not doing justice to the Word. We're not doing justice to Christ. In fact, we're doing a great injustice.
Right.
We need to get out of that. And then when we start judging them, judging other Christians, especially in the church,
yeah.
You know, just because they pray different than you do, just because they, maybe they are reading the NIV, God forgive them, but maybe they are. Right? You know, but
God will get you there.
He giggles right along with us. One thing I know is that I don't know. Right? That's the one thing that I'm sure of. What I do know for me, the King James is the Bible for the American people, our English-speaking people. I truly believe that. But if you need to start on the New American Standard or you need to start in the New King James, I would not throw you out of the church because of that. I might pick on you because I love you. You know, if I don't pick on you, you know, I really don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't really say anything to you, I just walk by, you know, there's a thing there. But if I say, that nearly inspired Bible is really cute. That's what NIV stands for, nearly inspired version, you know.
We pray for you.
Amen. Just keep praying for you. When we start doing things that are out of a mean heart, just saying things to hurt people instead of trying to lift each other up, then God's not pleased with that at all. He says, speak not evil one of another. Remember, he just finished talking about the tongue in James chapter 3. He's talking about the tongue and how it's an unruly evil. And if any man could control his tongue, he could control his whole body. But nobody can control their tongue because it's a poison in itself.
Yeah.
And without the Holy Spirit's guidance, without a humble heart, see, the humbleness of a man's heart, I cook supper, I got grease all over my glasses, I can't clean them off, and so, excuse me, this going to look gross, but I got to get some spit on there to get it cleaned up. And so, actually they taste good, because I cooked them and a little bacon grease on them. Nummy. I know. People on the radio, they're saying, what is he talking about? Come here on Wednesday night, you'll find out. Oh, so much better. You'll be surprised what a little spit can do on your glasses. Who needs that cleaning stuff? Cleaning solution. Get a little spit on it. speak not evil. He tells us in chapter 3 about the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth a fire, a course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. And then he talks about you can train any kind of beast that God has ever put on the earth. We have orca whales that we get to balance balls on their nose.
Yeah,
right? We can train these huge horses to do the simplest things, but we can't control our own tongue.
It's too bad our spit doesn't clean our tongue as well.
Amen! Yes! That's the truth, my brother. And as he's talking here, there, and in verse 11, speak not evil. That's what made me think about the tongue. When we start thinking or start expressing things that we believe, regardless of what God has led the other person to, right? If God is leading you, right, and God's speaking to you, He's moving on you, He's giving you direction, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and He's giving you a view at the same thing, just a little bit different from my view, that does not give me and it does not give you the right to put that other person down.
Right?
We don't have that right. And if we do, we're being puffed up in pride. We're saying to ourselves that I know more than that person.
Mm-hmm.
And since I know more than that person, that makes me right and they're ignorant. And so I'm better. And it says, remember, humble yourselves before God. If you come up before God with a prideful heart, thinking that you know something and that you're smarter than another believer, God, He doesn't like that. He says He will resist you. I don't want to be resisted from God. I don't want His pushing back on me. I don't want Him saying, Curtis, you have blown it. Stay. I'm going to resist whatever you think, whatever you try, whatever you do, until you get a humble and a broken heart. When you start looking at that other person that's a drunk or a drug addict or a prostitute or a thief or a murderer or whatever, you start looking at them with a compassion instead of a judgment.
Amen.
We're looking at the thing that happened last year, I think it was, with the George Floyd thing. It's all in the news. I don't know one way or another,
right?
I was not there. I can't say. I know that neither one of them were right. If you really want to not get killed by the cops, you know what you do?
Yeah.
You comply.
That's right.
All right? If the cop says, put your hands up, you put your hands up.
Right.
Don't fight. Don't resist. Mm-hmm. All right? So you go to jail, you get out of jail. Right? And especially in New York, I don't think they hold any real criminals in jail anymore. They're saving that for the Christians. And so, right? If we would just obey the authority, you wouldn't have that problem.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying what that officer did by putting his knee on his neck and, you know, I'm not saying that that was right. He shouldn't have been treating another human being that way. I mean, there's other ways to handle the problem, but I wasn't there. I can't say. I don't know. I do know that he's going to go to jail for a really, really long time.
I know.
And so now we have, like I said earlier, two families that are missing important people in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So who gets the glory there? Black Lives Matter? Mm-hmm. Is that what's going to get the glory there? When you say Black Lives Matter, then you're really insinuating no other lives matter.
Right, right.
And like we say all the time, it's eternal life that matters.
That's right.
Because God's no respecter of humans. He doesn't care what pigment your skin is. He doesn't care if you're tall, rich, poor, Jew, Gentile. Are you born again or not?
Right.
Are you treating other people with respect and kindness?
Mm-hmm.
Even the criminals. Tells us, speak not evil of another. Right now in America, there's so many people speaking evil of each other. There's no unity here.
Mm-hmm.
Not on this, not that I can see in this planet. There's so much, what's that word? Is it called vitriol?
Yeah, vitriol.
Vitriol.
Anger.
Anger. Spitefulness.
Vitriol.
The thoughts.
One step further.
Yeah.
It's one step worse.
It's one, and it continually gets nastier and nastier, worse and worse. Well, Jesus did say it would be like it was in the days of Noah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And you look at the days of Noah, and he says that man's heart was continually on evil.
Yeah.
I don't know how bad it must have been in Noah's day, but this is getting pretty bad here. And in the body of Christ, it's getting really bad here. Mm-hmm. I was hearing a little testimony about the Christians who will not take the vaccine and the Christians who do take the vaccine, and how that's causing a division in the body of Christ. They're not my servant. I shouldn't judge a man whether he takes the vaccine or doesn't take the vaccine. And one thing is, it's none of my business.
That's right.
Right? I'm not going to judge you whether you do that or whether you don't. As for me, I'll let y'all know straight up, I'm not taking it. I've never been vaccinated except for polio when I was a little bitty kid. Right? And I still got a little round shot on my shoulders, scar that goes with that. But outside of that, in my adult life, as far as I can go back in my memory, I didn't get vaccinated for the mumps. I got the mumps. Then I got better.
I got
them. Amen. I had the mumps and the chicken pox at the same time. Ooh. That was a miserable week. But you know what? I lived through it.
Yeah.
Right? And now they're saying I got to get a shot of vaccination for the shingles. No, I need shingles on my roof right now. I'm going to get them. All I'm saying is all those things really don't matter. And I am not the judge of another man's strength. It's not for me to say whether you take it or whether you don't. You know what? I'm going to love you either way. You know, I'm not gonna be putting other Christians down for their decisions on which way they stand on that. Because that doesn't take away your salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Now there is a mark that's coming, and I believe that this vaccine is leading up to that mark. But I don't think that this thing is that.
No.
Is it leading up to that? Yeah, it is. And all the nanotechnology and all that kind of stuff, and we went through all those studies and all that, you know, and if that is true, in about 2 or 3 years, everybody who took the vaccine is going to die anyhow.
That's right.
Right? So, oh well. Yes, my brother.
Well, the fact that they put aborted fetal tissue into the vaccine?
Not every vaccine. I mean, they are in every vaccine. I mean, yeah. But in every flu vaccine, they have that embryonic stuff in there.
I heard they're putting in this one too.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sure they are. Yeah, I'm sure they are. And I agree. But then it comes down to that whole boycott anything you don't like, right?
Yeah.
If we were to boycott every company that supports abortion, you wouldn't be wearing clothes. You'd be sitting here naked without electricity, without running water, because all of those companies support that kind of stuff. How can you get away from it? Go ahead.
Well, Acts 15 says of the Gentiles that they got to avoid blood, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And right. Yeah. And so, and even in that, I like a rare steak. I do. You know, I mean, you cook. I don't want my steak to taste like shoe leather. I want it to moo just a little bit when I fork it. Moo. Amen. 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 You know, and so even in that, Jacob, right? Even there, you know, it's
not drinking blood.
No, I'm not drinking blood. No. Well, I do sop it up with my biscuit. You know, if it, I mean, really, I don't know if y'all do that or not, but I mean, if there's some juice on my plate, I sop that stuff up. I've been known to lick a plate. You know, and my wife has seen stuff, but she's seen me eat. She knows it's true. Don't tell people that. You're the pastor. Don't invite me to your house. Because I might lick the plate clean. Too late. Cat's out of the bag. But don't judge me for that. You want to come to my house and lick the plate? You can.
I did not see you lick the plate at my house.
No, I did not. But you had good bread. I stomped it really well. When you got that plate back, it didn't need much cleaning. And so, and so praise God. But he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Remember what the law says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all the strength, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right? Love people the way that you want to be loved. Love people the way that God loves them. And God loved you while you were yet a sinner, and he died for you while you were yet a sinner. He didn't wait till you got clean to save you. He saved you in the midst of your mess.
Yeah.
And instead of judging or casting stones at that Christian that's doing something different than you, understanding the scripture different than what you do, that pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, those are very important study. But if you believe in pre-trib, you know what? I'm going to love you in the middle of that. Go ahead.
God didn't love us with his feelings, though.
Yes, thank you.
He loved us with his actions.
Actions, yes.
Because if he loved us by his feelings, he would have destroyed us all.
He would have destroyed us all. Amen. You're absolutely right, because all have sinned and come short of the glory. And we deserve hell. We deserve condemnation. But God, amen, but God who is rich in mercy, but God who is rich in love, but God who is rich towards those who despise him, who hung him on a cross and spat on him. And he said, Father, forgive them. Right? If we would have that spirit in the body of Christ. And in this next coming of the Holy Spirit, this next outpouring, the latter rain that we've been talking about on Sunday morning, when that happens, God's going to be looking for the 120 that are willing to be in the upper room together. He's looking for that one group of people that say, I'm going to love you. I don't have to agree with you, but I am going to love you. I'm not going, it's not my job to judge you. It's the Holy Spirit's job to judge
Amen.
You. He's in you. And if I start judging you and holding you to my high expectations, right, nobody's going to add up. Then we'll be all pharisaical. We'll all be like a bunch of Pharisees. You know, you got to do it my way. You got to jump through all these hoops. You've got to do what I do or you can't be saved. But that's not what the scripture says. You're saved through Jesus Christ, through
Amen.
His love, through his
Amen.
Mercy, through his power. We've got to get out of ourselves. That's why he was talking about humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift us up.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I don't know for sure exactly the day that rapture thing's going to happen. I don't. Right? I can see some evidence of some scripture that tells me that it's after the 3.5 year point in there. And I believe that, you know. And if I'm wrong and it happens before, guess what? Woohoo! Praise God, I'm going anyhow. And if it doesn't happen until the end of the 7 year period, guess what? And I'm alive when that happens, I'm leaving. And if I'm dead before that happens, I'm leaving. Go ahead, Jake.
You know, Revelation 13:5 says the Antichrist is given 42 months to make war against the saints. And so at the end of that 42 months, you might not know the exact day, but pretty close.
Pretty close, yeah.
And so one day event, you get the rapture and the in-person wrath of Christ.
Yeah.
Which,
and so,
which is the greatest earthquake that ever hit.
Is it right for us to judge people who think differently than that?
No. Mind their own business and we'll be doing fine.
Thank you. And that's what James is saying here.
Right.
You know? That's what he's trying to tell us.
But we're to be Bereans.
Yeah. Study, show yourself approved. Absolutely.
And if people resist that, looking at certain scriptures, mm-hmm. if they don't like it, that's not being Bereans.
No, well, all we have to do is sound the trumpet.
Right.
You can't make somebody believe.
Right?
I can't make somebody. So my job's not to judge them whether they listen to it or not. That's not for me. That's for God.
Amen.
It tells me right here in James that not to judge my brother or speak evil against him.
Right.
All right? So
but you're reading scripture that's talking about arrogance and pride, and that can go either way.
Yes, it really can.
So it should enlighten on both sides.
Right.
You know,
and it comes down, right, James? It's that personal belief, it's that personal relationship with God. Right? And it's he's not my servant, and unless the Holy Spirit illuminates that to him. I mean, we can show him the scriptures. It takes the Holy Spirit to illuminate that, because I believe the other thing for most of my Christian life.
Yes.
Right? And then when it became illuminated to me and I looked into the scriptures a little bit deeper, it changed my thinking.
Amen.
But that doesn't stop me from loving the folks that are still on the other side.
That's right.
Well, it doesn't, and I'm not going to judge them for their belief.
Right.
You know, they're Christian. All right? And and when the time gets hard and we get through that, we're in that time, that person who thought that it was going to be before and it isn't before, you know what I'm going to do to them? I'm going to feed them if I got food. I'm going to bandage their wounds if they're wounded. I'm going to give them water when they're thirsty. I'm going to let them into my house. I'm going to love them. Because that's what the Bible tells me to do.
Well, most likely at that point, if they see they're still here and they have to make the decision of Mark, then they're going to want to know which scriptures you're using. To
Amen. And at that time, we're going to be so scarce and spread across the globe, you know, they're going to have to seek us out pretty hard. And so that's why, like in Rome, they did the half a fish and the other half a fish. Right? There'll be something, right? There'll be something that we can have a way to communicate. But all he's saying right here is that show consideration and don't judge another brother for what he believes. Because when you judge him, you're actually judging the law.
Right.
When you're putting them down to make you feel better, you're judging the law. Remember, pride puffs up.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And God hates a high and haughty, a proud heart. What he really loves is a broken and a contrite heart. A heart that's set apart for him. I think that's Psalm 34. I have it written down here. The Lord is nigh unto them that with a broken heart and saveth such that are of a contrite spirit.
Knowledge puffeth up, but charity.
Yes. There you go.
Charity edifies.
Charity edifies, right.
It's
a whole other thing. And so what is the body supposed to do? We come together to edify each other, not to put each other down.
Right.
Not to drag each other through the mud. Go ahead, brother.
It's a warning in Ezekiel 3, verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel.
Amen.
Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say the wicked, you shall surely die, and give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. See, there's the law.
Yeah.
You warn him to save his
life,
not to condemn him.
Right.
Not
Amen.
To judge him.
Not to judge him.
To save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I would require of your hand. Now, the remainder of that says, you warn a man and he turns back from an iniquity, you save your soul if
and
his.
And his, right.
It's a warning, not a judgment.
Amen.
And that's out of love.
And that's out of love. And we are to warn people. We really are. And to let them know what this scripture says without my biased opinion in the midst of it. Go ahead, brother.
I think man has a tendency to also blame people.
Amen.
Yes.
They blame Christ for being too critical.
Right. And they're blaming a police officer for a guy's death. They're blaming, this whole thing is turned into a blame game.
Yes,
right. Right? And the thing is, if we didn't break the law, you wouldn't have to worry about
that.
That's
right.
You know, I've been pulled over for tickets, and you know what I did? I didn't crack my window and say, I know my rights, you don't have them. I'm not going to show you my ID. He said, give me your ID. I gave him my ID. Show me your proof of insurance. I showed him my proof of insurance. Get out and smash your face on the head of the front of the car. That's what I did. You know, whatever he asked me to do. Go sit on the curb. I'll go sit on the curb. You know, and you know what? After all of that was finished, I got back in my car and I drove away. And I got a ticket. I paid the ticket. And if I would have had dope in my car at that time, I would have went to jail. But that's because I had dope in my car. Right? That's not the police officer's fault. That was my fault. We've lost that. Go ahead, sister.
Cliff actually approached a man that had been having an affair with his wife.
Yeah.
It was not me. But his other wife.
Yes.
And he brought him to Christ. The Lord used Cliff to bring this man who had drug issues, who had committed adultery. And he would say over and over again, it was not me. It was Christ in me.
Yeah.
That could see this was a human being.
Yeah.
They needed forgiveness, just like I needed forgiveness. And he was able to reach out and bring that man to Christ.
Amen.
And that is not judging, but recognizing we need forgiveness, everybody,
yes.
Anybody else around us.
Absolutely.
And he can use us in a mighty way if we will humble
ourselves. If we would humble ourselves and allow him to do that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. Forgiveness is the key to,
yeah.
to
yeah.
overcoming judgment.
Amen.
Forgiveness is the key.
Yeah.
Yep.
And see, when we come up with this idea that we know everything, and we're going to judge everybody on what we know, go ahead, sister.
Forgiveness is true healing.
Amen.
That's,
yes.
That's where it heals. Because if you have something against me and
mm-hmm.
I'm not forgiving you, the only person that's hurting is me.
Amen.
Exactly
right.
Right.
Because you killer.
Yes. Or I might not even know. Right? I don't even know. What I've heard, and I like this saying, I forget where I picked it out, but unforgiveness is like me drinking poison and hoping you die.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all an unforgiving spirit does. And a judgmental spirit is the same thing. When I think I know something so much that I can't be taught anymore.
Right, right.
And then I start judging people on what I think I know.
Mm-hmm.
That puts me in as the law giver, not the law receiver. Right? That's where James was talking about, speaking the evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are no longer a doer of the law, but a judge of the law. And again, the scripture tells me not to judge another man's servant. I mean, if you are a Christian and you're born again, you're washed with the Spirit of God, and you think you got to be baptized to be saved, all right, that's not going to take away your salvation.
No.
And me to be mean to you for that, or speak down to you for that, that's wrong.
Right.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say, a friend of mine told me one time that we judge ourselves on our best intentions, and we judge everyone else by their actions.
Right, yes. And that's where James is telling us here, or the Holy Spirit is working through James to give instruction to the church in this time.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout all of time, ever since this was penned. Because the Holy Spirit moved on godly men, or the Spirit moved on holy men, and they put down the Word of God. James is writing here, letting us know that there is one lawgiver, and it ain't you. That's really what he's saying. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou to judge another? Especially in the body, even if they are wrong and they're absolutely wrong, I don't have the power to lift them up or to put them down. It says there's one lawgiver, and he's able to save that person, or he's able to destroy that person.
Yeah.
You know what it doesn't say is I have any input in that.
Right.
I can't change that.
No.
I can show them the truth, but I can't make them do it. You know, Johnny Carson said you could, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it do a backstroke. I heard that the other day again. You made me giggle.
Yeah.
Right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it do the backstroke.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a question. So what's the fine line between judging somebody, judging a brother, and say somebody is doing something in the church that's inappropriate? What's the fine line there?
All right. If you're doing something to harm someone else in the body of Christ, doing something that's inappropriate, doing business and cheating or lying or whatever that is, and I know it, the Holy Spirit's told me about it, the Scripture tells me I'm supposed to come to you and talk to you about it.
In love.
In love.
In
right?
love. The motive is always love.
Motive is always to love and to reinstitute that. And if you won't accept it, then I'm supposed to bring somebody else, the two witnesses. And if then you don't accept it, then we bring it before the body of Christ or before the deacons, and you do that again. And then if you absolutely won't have anything to do with it, by then you really don't have to be put out in the church because you'll probably leave anyhow, right? So when you see something going on, like, Lord forbid, somebody here was in the act of art of the, or work of sin of adultery or whatever, and you knew about it, first you come to them as a brother in a part of reconciliation. Say, listen, how can I help with it? Or drug addiction, or alcoholism, or pornography, or whatever it is. And you come along the side of that person and say, listen, brother or sister, I know you're dealing with this. Let me help. Let's get this out in the open. Now, I'm not judging you. I'm loving you. And the whole reason for that is to build you, to edify you, and to make you strong again.
It almost goes back to what you were saying. You are now dealing with the person, not the action.
Yes.
So you are now concerned and loving the person for the action that is
right.
Is a concern. That yes. will hurt them. That will
yeah,
harm
that
them.
That will harm them. And not only does it harm them, it holds the whole body.
Yeah.
You know, because if you have a splinter in your hand and you never take care of it, it sets up septic and gangrene, and you end up losing your whole arm over it or your life. So in the body of Christ, each of us are, because we are our brother's keeper, each of us, and we have those tight relationships with people. We come along beside them not in a overruling or a judgmental
Amen.
Thing. We come over them with the love of Christ and the mercy of God. And we express God's law, God's understanding. And if they have the Holy Spirit, they will come and they will repent, you know. And if they don't, then they go away. I think it's 1 Corinthians talks about a young man that had sex with his mother.
Yeah.
Right? Follow-up scripture to that says, nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man, that the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took the warning.
Right.
You will have delivered, and you also will have delivered your soul.
Yes.
It's a yeah. warning.
It's a warning.
It's
yeah.
a warning.
It's a warning. So did that help you out there a little?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just, you know, people always think that you're judging me. You're judging me. You know, when you come to them and you say something, you're judging me.
Right.
And just, there's got to be that fine line.
Yes.
There.
Well, there's got to come to understand when people say you're judging me, it's because of the guilt that they already have. That's really what they're saying is, yeah, you caught me in this, and I'm ashamed. So the only thing I can do is put up this defensive wall. You should not judge me. And you come in like when Jesus talked to the sinner, the woman caught in the very act of adultery, or the whatever he didn't ever turn away from the unrighteousness that happened. He just showed mercy in that unrighteousness.
Yes.
So, and so,
that takes much prayer.
It does.
Before you would even go to that person.
Yes. And a lot of it also depends on the relationship you have with that person.
Exactly.
You know, it's easier to correct a friend, right? Because then you're coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I knew something, I wouldn't come just straight out. Because I have done this bullheaded, like bam, 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 when I was a young pastor and I came against an individual that was using Facebook in the church and hurting a lot of people, and I came right to their house and said, listen, you need to control your wife. They left the church. You know, and so I could have used a little more tact with that. You know, I was a very young pastor. It's the first year of doing it. And again, I know a lot of people like Facebook. I know that you do. I still say it's right out of the spawn of Satan's belly button.
Yeah.
You can
well,
say
we know that.
Yeah, amen.
They don't know.
They don't
yet.
Know, right.
Much prayer.
Yeah, much prayer. And I'm not going to judge folks for that, because
yeah.
that's not my job.
They don't know.
All I can do is stand here and say, listen, not much good comes out of Facebook. Not much good comes out of Twitter, all right? Not much good comes out of the prince of the power of the air.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to judge you because you have cable TV. I'm not going to judge you because you watch The Price is Right, all right? I mean, that's all about covetousness. And so my job is to love you there and to say the truth, right? I believe through the Word of God that this thing, the social media, is absolutely out of the pits of hell. That's where it originated from. And as you get entangled in that, regardless of how comfortable it feels, it's still out of the pits of hell. And it will drag you down. I've seen so many people get into stupid arguments over Facebook. good Christian people hating each other because you tweeted something that may have been true, but it just, isn't it so much better just to go knock on their door instead of facing book or having imaginary friends that are electronic? Go to their house and really have coffee with them?
Yeah.
If you don't drink coffee, have a glass of water and talk things out. A poached egg? I don't know. You know, it's much better that way. Anyhow,
yeah.
Jump off that. There's a weird stuff, huh?
I think there's a proverb that says that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Amen.
And it is that aspect of where's your heart at when you go about this.
Right.
Are you being a friend or are you just being, you know, a brother tends to judge another brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're a friend, you're coming in love.
Yeah.
You're coming to help. A
yeah.
friend is truly, the understanding of a friend is one who's truly helping another.
Right.
Right. And that's what the Lord's looking at. He's looking at the intent of the heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you're a friend, you've got the whole authority of heaven behind you.
Amen. And here, James is talking about when we go and judge, harshly judge a brother or say something just to put them down, to make you feel better. When we do that, we're doing things that are against the love of God, the law of love in Christ. He says, verse 13, go to now and say to that, ye that say tomorrow or today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get and gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. All right, here, there's so many folks that say, I'm going to do this. Yeah, and I was bad about that. I still am, pretty much. You know, I have plans, right? And when my plans don't work out my way, oh, I feel such a fit. Right? You know, I pitch a fit. I holler. I say things I ought not say. Right? Yeah, can I get an amen? Or am I up here by myself? Right? And so, and it happens. James is telling us here, he's telling the church, trust God. Move forward in faith.
Amen.
Don't overthink things. We so often think that we know. Well, I'm going to move here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You don't know whether you're going to take your next breath.
No. Uh-uh.
Prideful.
Prideful, exactly. And God resists the proud. That's where he's talking about here. He says, well, we ought to say, if God's willing.
That's right.
All right, if God's willing, I'm going to go here, I'm going to do this. And not that we shouldn't have plans, because my people are dying because they have no plans. They don't set things out. If a man goes to build a tower, doesn't he set down first and count the cost? Lest when he's half through with it, he can't do it. But if I have it so set in my mind that I'm going to go over there and I am going to do this, I am going to make this happen.
Yeah.
Well, you really don't know.
No.
You can't say that. So if you go in Christ, if you go in love, if you go in a humble heart, and always be willing to move wherever the Spirit sends you.
That's it.
You know, sometimes you can say you're going to do this, and the Holy Spirit says, no, you're not. You say, yes, I am. And you end up fighting against God in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I don't know for sure. I'm not judging anybody, but I know people who said, well, I'm going to leave New York and I'm going to do this and I'm going to go to the free America.
Yeah.
When God was really saying, stay and fight. Stay and stand. You know, you don't go to Montana to find freedom.
Right.
You stay where you're at and you proclaim freedom. Right? That's the harder thing. Anybody can run away and start something else.
Yeah.
But to stand. And do the right thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Hear that he's talking about an individual to saying today or tomorrow we'll go into a such and such city. We'll continue there and for a year, and we're gonna do commerce. We're gonna buy and sell, and we're gonna make a profit. What it says?
Psalm 144:3-4. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him?
Amen.
Or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we really and truly don't about how long this life is going to last.
Right.
And we don't know what the famine is going to be. There's in Amos, I was reading it today, there's going to come a famine, but it's not a famine of food or water, but there's going to be a famine of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And that's going to, I think, I'm pretty sure we're coming into that now. Because we have raised up a generation that knows not God, that fears not God, that loves not God. That the God of theirs is the God of their belly, not the God of Scripture.
They've already taken the Scripture.
What you got, yeah. Go ahead, Justin. You got the Holy Spirit. Tell him.
He's just worried about me again because my legs are acting up. But you're almost done.
No, I ain't.
Okay. And then I better get up and walk.
You know, if you got to get up and walk, you can get up and walk.
I know.
I can
handle it.
Oh, I love you. So, okay, I'll hurry up.
Okay.
For we ought to say, if the Lord wills,
right.
we shall live and do this or that. That's coming about it humbly. That's coming about it in an understanding that God is in control and we're
Amen.
Not. And if God will allow us to do this, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
It's not wrong to have the plan to go by itself.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's wrong when you say, I am going to do this regardless of what happens. My will, not my will being done.
It can even happen, I think, when you think it is God's will, you're doing it, you get shit
yes.
from that. That's what God has for me, and you stop listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I can't remember where it is, but I know it's written where the guy tears down barns and builds bigger barns, and he's like,
and he didn't know that tonight.
You're required to be.
Right.
So.
And so, so you look at that. Yeah, God blessed him. He had a great crop. He said, well, what am I going to do with all this extra? I'm going to tear down my old stuff, and I'm going to build new stuff. And then he died that night.
there.
We don't know when that moment's going to come. All we know is that we need to be ready. Here in this, what James is telling us, we don't boast in what we think we know. We don't judge in what we think we understand. Keep God in the center of what you're doing.
Amen.
If God will, we'll go doing this or that. We're not to judge. We're supposed to walk humbly before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16, but now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. When we say that, we're just... Have you ever known somebody that's trying to teach you something and say, I'm right, no matter what, I'm right. That's the biggest fool.
Yeah.
All right? Really and truly. I mean, their heart might be on the right spot, but when you think you can't be taught something, it says that that is evil. Your boasting is evil. Because it's a humble heart says, all right, I don't know. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not just going to do something willy-nilly. I'm going to pray. I'm going to plan. I'm going to trust God. And then I'm going to move forward. And as you do that, you see God working. Verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. If we know that we're supposed to do something and we don't do it, you know, that's a sure confidence of the indwelling Spirit of God.
Yeah.
He tells you what's right, what's not right,
Amen.
When to go,
Amen.
When to come,
right.
when to sit down. And so anyhow, I know I've spoken. Too many trying to put off, but well, people are hurting here. I see you. Wake up! No. Folks, I love you. And these teachings in James are so deep and multifaceted. Even as I was teaching that, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit, I don't know. Because the beautiful thing about the Word of God is it speaks different to you than what it does to me.
Amen.
I may be in a different spot in my spiritual walk than what you are. But that's not for me to judge.
Right, right.
That's for my, I'm supposed to love you there. You're supposed to love me here. And I'm not supposed to throw stones at you or put false, not accusations, but expectations on other people.
Yeah.
You're not, you follow God.
Then
you follow God.
Right.
And if God is leading you a little bit slower than when he's leading somebody else, or a little bit faster than what he's leading somebody else. Just because God illuminated something to you doesn't mean that he illuminated it to everybody.
Amen.
Yes, sister.
Deuteronomy 13:4, you shall follow the Lord your God and hear him. You shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him.
Amen. Absolutely. If we would just do that and get all this ideas that we know more than what we actually do, if we would get that out of the way, I call that stinking thinking. You know, that's our stinking thinking.
Yeah.
We don't know it all.
No, we can't.
And you know, we can't. And as we grow, we know more.
Yes.
But my reality may not be your reality. It's not that it isn't as real to you as it what I am. I mean, we're all in the same room right here.
Amen.
But we're at different spots with Christ.
Amen.
And he is our leader. He is our judge. He is the lawgiver. And it's not for me to push my theological ideals on someone else by judging them because they don't meet my expectations.
Yeah, really.
I see the root sin.
Yes.
Whole thing.
Yes.
Pride.
It's pride.
Yeah. Pride and contention.
Yep.
And that's why I started in verse 6 and brought it forward. You know, because we got to get this in a whole thought here.
So God wants us to humble.
Yeah.
Ourselves.
Yeah.
And he will
lift us. And he will lift us.
He wants us to turn away from pride.
Amen.
And you can truly humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord.
Yes. I believe, and I absolutely am with you 1,000%. But you know what's stopping
you?
Yeah, you better be. But you know what's stopping us? It's ourselves. It's our pride. It's thinking that we've got to be right on this or that. And I don't have to be right. God does.
Amen.
The Word of God does. The Bible is.
What is that he said? I abhor. Is it abhor is the word? Seven things. But
yes.
A proud look is the first one.
First one.
A proud look.
Yeah.
Is the first one.
Seven things are a sin, and six things are a sin, and seventh thing I abhor. And the first is the proud look.
Proud
and haughty look. Thinking that you know more than what you know.
Yeah.
And then trying to force that down somebody else's throat.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, you ain't saved because you don't believe what I believe.
Yeah.
I don't save you.
No.
I am not the Holy Ghost. I mean, I might be really white, but I ain't the Holy Ghost. Extremely Caucasian.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, folks, I love you. Go ahead, brother. Oh, I thought you had something to say.
Well, I was. What mechanisms will we use to humble ourselves?
Mm.
So there's a question because this is where
it's going to get sick.
Road.
Yeah.
So it's easy to to know the understanding, but how do we apply it to our lives?
Yeah.
Surrender.
There is a surrender.
Yeah.
Absolute surrender. Never question God. What He allows to come into your life.
Yeah.
Say, okay, Lord, what lesson am I going to learn here?
There you go. And if we really believe that all things work together for good because we love God and are called for His purpose, then just trust God and move forward.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah. It's the most difficult, easy thing you'll ever do.
I think there's a lot of evidence throughout all the scriptures that speaks to the people, especially in the Old Testament, before they would seek the face of the Lord. Almost always, you would hear them. They would put on sackcloth. They would cover themselves with ashes. They would fast.
Mm-hmm.
And all those understandings, I think, come under the same pretense. It's to put the flesh away from you.
Yeah.
Right.
And it does work.
Yeah.
A simple fasting, and it can be a fast from anything.
Yeah.
It's incredibly powerful.
It really is.
It can be turned away from a television. It can be turned away from anything that would comfort the flesh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You become very aware of your own sin.
Of your own depravity and need for a Savior.
Another mechanism that helps me many times is to remember where I began.
Oh, amen.
If you go back, and I tell you, if you purposely walk through, and this does work, people, from my own evidence, if you purposely walk through where you were when the Lord met you the first time, it'll bring you to tears almost every time.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it is humbling. You all of a sudden
see
the power. power of God.
The power of God. When he reached down into the goo and found you, right?
Just maybe a couple of things that would help people.
To get to that spot.
Yeah.
Because it is available. You know, we can get there quick as we get out of the way. Amen.
Yeah.
Anyhow, who wants to close in prayer?
Is it always men?
No, you can pray if you want to.
Okay. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, you know how much we love you. You know our hearts, oh God. Only you can see into them, Lord. And, oh God, if you see anything that shouldn't be there in either of any of us, oh God, we would ask that you would show it to us and then enable us, oh God, to put it out, get out of the way. And, oh Lord, help us to be obedient beyond anything to you, to know that you are our only source. There is nothing else. And when we pray, you're looking into those prayers to see what the Holy Spirit's praying.
Yes.
And we love that, Lord. And we know that, Lord, if there's something we don't understand, that you said we will give it, it will be given to us. We will understand it. I like to think of putting a nugget in my pocket if I don't understand it until you show me. Lord, bless each one of us. Help us, Father, to melt us together in love, oh God.
Oh, yes.
Melt us together in love. Help us not to see any specks in the other person's eye, but to cut them a lot of slack because they're just as human as we are.
Amen.
We bless you and we praise you, Father. We thank you, dear God. We bless our dear pastor, Father. Thank you for him, oh God, and his dear wife.
Yes.
We're so appreciative of them, Lord. They've been such a big help. And then we know how much they love you and love us. Thank you again, dear Lord. Give us a safe trip home.
Amen. Thank you,
Father. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.